And whenever you do Haitzah, you have to have a Kishir. That's going to be a series of a few prokim later. Depending on whether you're carrying Michael Adama, Michael Behema, or metal, or paper, or parchment, or wine, whatever it is, every object has its own shear. And less than a shear, you're not going to be chayv chatos b'shoikig, you're not going to be chayv misa b'mezid. And this seems to be muskam l'chaladeh, that a chatzi shear by Haitzah is only an Issa derabbanan, because that we had, that wasn't just the Rashbam in Chetzkes HaBatan, that was the Rashbam is quoting a Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara says Beferish in Zvachim, the last line in Perek Beis Shammai, it's right before the beginning of Perek Ezel Mekayman. So the last line in Perek Beis Shammai says Beferish that if you carry on Shabbos less than a kishir, you're not chayiv because it's a lack of melechas machshavos. That's Beferish. The lack of melechas machshavos means that it's only an Issa derabbanan. Is this true regarding all the other 38 melachas? That whenever you do the melacha less than a shear, it's a lack of melechas machshavos, then the maximum it can be is an Issa derabbanan, and maybe that Gemara only goes on Haitzah. So that's what we mentioned in Prima Gadim, held that that's only by Haitzah. That if you're lacking in the shear of the Cheftzah, so it's only an Issa derabbanan, it's a lack of melechas machshavos, because Haitzah to begin with is a melacha grua. So if you have less than a kishir, so it knocks it off. So it's not even a malach at all on the level of the rice. Whenever you lack malach smalshevis, by definition, it's not called a malach. But in the other malachas, the shear is a din and shear, but chatzi shear will be asim and atar. That was the pre-pagodin. Okay. So now the Mishnah has a chiddush. Not only is there a requirement for shear in Haitzah that's going to be elaborated upon at length in the upcoming Mishnayos, there is a din of ikar and tofel. If the person carries oichel and pachas v'kishir in a kli, not only is it not chayv on the ochel, it's not even chayv on the kli. Potter of halakli, wash hakli, tfei lolo. There's an ikar, a din of ikar and tofel. So since there was no violation of Haitzah on the ikar, so even the kli, which is tofel to the ochel, there's also no violation of Haitzah on the kli. A din of ikar and tofel of Haitzah. Yeah, is this a din only that applies only to Haitzah, or perhaps this should apply to all the malachas? It's a din of ikar and tofel and all the malachas. So we had a case where a few achrenim said like that. A din of an ikir and tofel in his intention. We had the big machlekes, the Rashbo and the Ran. The fellow locks the door and he closes all the windows because he doesn't want the ganovim to come into the house and to steal his property. But he knows that that the Tzvi is getting caught. So the Rashbo quotes a Yerushalmi that even if he intends to catch the deer, it's mutter. It's permissible if his ikar intention is, if he has two intentions. The ikar kavana of locking the window and locking the door is to prevent genevis. And a tofel dikar intention is to catch the deer. So the Rashba quotes Yerushalmi that that's mutter. So that's a chiddush, that you apply ikar and tofel, that since that's only a tofel in his kavana, that's mutter. That's a while to understand. How can it be? The halacha says that dovashen im iskavein, is I'm doing pool A, which may or may not result in pool B. So that's a machlekes of Yudah Reb Shimon, whether it's Osir, or Moideh Reb Shimon Bipsik Reish. If it's about Dois, that A will certainly lead to B, even though you're not planning at all, you're not interested in B, Moideh Reb Shimon that it's Osir. So you see that even if it's less than a secondary intention, he's not even interested in B, but still, if it's a Pesik Reish, then it's Osir. So how can the Rashba quote the Yerushalmi as saying that over here it's Mutar, even if that's what you're intending? I also want to trap the deer, but since that's not my main intention, is to protect my property, and if that's only a secondary intention, so that's muta. How can that be? So we explain, no, it's a special vart over here, because the malacha is accomplished on the deer, and he's doing the maisa malacha on the window or on the door. So if you do a pu'ula on one chayfetz, and it turns out that it accomplishes the malacha on a different chayfetz, so that's only the pu'ula you did on the window is only mitztarif to the deer, if that's your main intention. If that's only your secondary intention, so the pula on one chayfetz doesn't relate to the other chayfetz. So there is, that was the Rashba's opinion. The Ran disagreed with this Rashba. We don't pass him like this Rashba. The Ran disagreed. He said, that's out of the question. He said, that's an Issa Deraisa. How can you accept such a statement from Yerushalmi? He intends to trap the deer, and it's going to be mutta because it's only a secondary intention. So the Ran disagreed with the Rashba, and he said, not only is that Osir, even if he doesn't care at all about trapping the deer, but it's a psikreshe that the deer is getting trapped, so that's also going to be Osir, because Moideh Reb Shimon, the psikreshe, on Shabbos Reb Shimon will agree that a psikreshe is Osir. And then there was a group of Achrayim, the Shuas Yankif and Rabbi Chanan Vasserman and Avni Nezer and some others, who made a compromise sheet, a compromise between the two extreme opinions of the Rashba and the Ran. So they suggested maybe if you're intending to trap the deer, although your main intention is to protect your property, but if you have as a secondary intention, you also want to trap the deer, then we will accept the Ran's opinion. That's mamish called the Dabar HaMiskaven. It doesn't help that's only a secondary intention. But if you're not interested in trapping the deer, it's only that it's a psik reisha. So then this group of achrayim suggested maybe you can make a compromise shita and say over here that there is no din of psik reisha. Why? When is there a din of psik reisha? We're not doing the pool on this object, and the malacha is also going to take effect on this object. We're not doing a pool on this object, and it accomplishes, it has an effect of accomplishing malacha on a different chayfet. So that only the pool on object A only relates to object B to label me as the bala malacha. If I was interested in it, that was my intention from the beginning. But if I wasn't really interested at all, not only if you all psik reishal and nichal is mutter, if you all like the arf psik reishal and nichal is always mutter, even if it's in the same chapter. But over here, even if you follow shitas hatesis and in general psik reishal and nichal is also mit rabbanon, the only mitigating factor that you have is that le nichal means that it's ain't tzvichal gufa, so it'll only lower it down to the level of the rabbanon. Here it'll be mutter legamre. Why? Because since the pu'ula that he does is on one chayfetz, and the malach is going to be on a different chayfetz, so the pu'ula on chayfetz A only relates to chayfetz B if he's really interested in that. If he's not interested, even though it's a psik reisha, the pu'ula on A doesn't relate to B. Okay, that was a compromise sheet. So there was the Rashba shita quoting a Yerushalmi, which we don't accept la halacha. Nobody passes la halacha like that. Rashba b'shem ha-Yerushalmi, that there is a concept, there is an application of Iker and Tofel. And his intentions, his main intention is A, and as a secondary intention he has B, so it's mutar lachatchila to do the tzeda, mutar lachatchila. That's a big chiddush. That's a while we don't accept that lalocha. But Tzvi Pesach Frank discussed the concept of Iker and Tofel in a different context, in the context of Bishul. That we are machmer, that although generally we say ein bishul acha bishul on kugel and on chicken and on flesh, but we are the Ramah is machmer that yesh bishul acha bishul bedavalach. Let's say you have water, let's say you have tea. So I cook the tea, I put it in the refrigerator. Now it's cold. Then I'm going to put the tea back on top of the fire. So we would be machmer to consider that a chashash of yesh bishul acha bishul derais. We had in fact the Eglital wanted to say a very interesting insight. That the whole machlekes in the Shulchan Aruch that the Ramah had to take a stand on and paskin that yesh bishul achabishul bedavar lachmin the araisa, that is a problem with bishul, that's only on soup. But water, just plain water, of course, there never was a machlekes, he wanted to say. Everyone should agree that there is a problem of bishul achabishul menatar, because by water, what's the whole accomplishment of the bishul? You make a yatzah lettuce. Once you put it in the refrigerator, once it goes down below yatzah lettuce, you've undone the whole accomplishment of the water. Then when you put it back on top of the fire, it's mamish like yesh meyayin. That's a bishul chadash. It's not, if you have raw chicken and you cook it, so the chicken is now edible. It's not raw anymore. So then if you're going to reheat it, that's called reheating chicken. That's not called cooking chicken. So we understand why there's a din of ein bishul achabishul. But in water, what shach to say ein bishul achabishul? Originally it was cold water from the tap. You cooked it, it became hot water. It cools off down to room temperature. It's cold water again. You have to cook it again. Yesh bishul achabishul. So the Egle Tal had a suggestion that by water, everyone will agree that yesh bishul achabishul menatar. There never was a machlek. No machlek, it only is in soup. Because when you start the soup, you're dealing with raw water, you're dealing with raw vegetables. And then when you cook it, everything blends in together, and it's a panim chadashes ba'olakan. So the soup, when you put it in the, when you turn off the fire, and you put it in the refrigerator, it doesn't revert back to become raw water or raw vegetables and everything separate. It remains soup, except that it's cold soup. It would have tasted better if you would have heated it up. It would be delicious when it's served hot. And it's not so bad tasting if you serve it cold also, nishgefelach. But people enjoy reheating the soup. So the Egle Tal claims, originally that's what he wrote, that the whole machlekes in the Shulchan Aruch, the machlekes of Rishonim, where the yesh bishul achabishul, the dov alach only applies to soup. On water, there never was a machlekes. But then he raised an issue, then it should come out, let's say, the Ramah wrote a compromise in psak on this issue, where the yesh bishul achabishul, the dov alach anah. So the Ramah says, if it's nitzan legamrei, if the soup went all the way down to room temperature, then we say yesh bishul achabishul to put it back on top of the fire. But if it didn't go down to room temperature, it's still lecham b'miktza. So then we say ein bishul hachabishul, and you can put it back on top of the fire, as long as you avoid the prohibition of hachazor. Let's say it's oyde biyod the v'daita lehachzav aloyin tzamigam. Let's say I'm holding a pot of soup. I took off the soup from the fire, and someone's taking a ladle and pouring out bowls of soup, and I'm standing there for an hour holding the soup. And after an hour, it cooled down to room temperature. So even though I'm holding on to it, and I intended to put it back on top of the blech, and I have a blech, you're not allowed to put it back, because since it went down, it's tan legam, it went down to room temperature, so there's no heter of hachazor. But if it's still above room temperature, then there's no ether hachazor, because oide biyod b'dayta lahachzir, v'loin it's tan legamre, and there's a groof of ktuma, there's a blech, so you're permitted to put it back on top of the fire. What happened to the problem of bishul? So the answer is ain't bishul lach habishul. I bet it's a dov alach. So the Ramos machmir, if it's a dov alach and it's tana legamre, if it went down to room temperature, then there's a problem of bishul lach habishul. Then the fact that the oida biyod of a dait alach sin a gruf oktuma, it's not going to help. But if it's len in tana legamre, then there's no problem of hachazor. So the eglital raises Akash against what he said. If what I said is correct, that by water everybody agrees there never was a machlokes, that for sure yesh bishul hachabishul. The only time there's a machlokes is on soup, because after you cook the soup is a parim chadashis. Now it's soup. When it cools off, it doesn't revert back to its original state to become raw water and raw vegetables. It's still in the state of soup, but it's cooled off. And then you're going to reheat the soup. So maybe you should say yesh bishul hachabishul, maybe say yesh bishul hachabishul. But in water, for sure, yesh bishul hachabishul. So then he says, but the practice is not so, because a lot of people move the kettle off when they want to have the soup hot. So the soup is on top of the blech, and then they want to heat the chickens. And the chicken is on top of that burner, on the blech, on top of the burner, where it's going to be hot. And then, after an hour of having the kettle on the side, when they wanted to serve the soup, and they wanted to serve the chicken and the warm kugel, then they're going to take the kettle of water, which is above room temperature, but perhaps way below Yad Saletes, and they're going to push it back from the periphery of the blech back to the on top of the burner, that you want to have burning hot, piping hot tea. You want to have burning hot coffee, let's say. So the Eglital says, according to what I said, it should be a bishalach bishal deraisa. Whenever the heat of the water, the temperature of the water goes down below Yad Saletis, then you push it back on top of the burner, that it should go back above Yad Saletis. So that's an Issa Deraisa, Bishlach HaBishul, but water? He says, water that never was a Machlekes. But the common meaning is not so. The women will push the water back, as long as it's above room temperature, it's Len, it's Tan Lagam, but they will push it back on top of the burner that has the fire. So he reassesses the situation, and the Hashmatas in the back of the safe, and he backed out what he originally wrote. But what he originally wrote really makes very good sense, that by water it should be muskam l'chol hadeis, that there shouldn't be any machlekes, that everybody should agree that there should be a problem of yesh bishul hachabishul. It makes good sense that the machlekes harishonim, where the yesh bishul hachabishul b'dav alach, should only apply to soup and not to water. So now, there was a common practice for many years that when a person would drink a cup of tea, would finish the tea, and leave coffee, whatever, leave a couple of droplets of tea or coffee in the cup, it would sit there for a couple of minutes, it would be room temperature, and it's tan legamre. Then they want to have another cup of tea. 10 minutes later, another cup of coffee, so they take the kettle and pour the burning hot water directly on top of those few droplets of water in the bottom of the mug, in the bottom of the cup. So in the recent years, the Gedolim said that you have to be careful, you have to dry out the cup, because if you're going to pour burning hot water, Iri is mevashel kadei klipo. This is called Iri. If you put something in a kli rishon, so that's bishul de kli rishon. If you put something in a kli sheni is not mevashel. But if you have Iri from a kli rishon, you're pouring from a kettle. The water in the kettle is told as esh. It was heated by the esh. So that's kli rishon. Even though it's not agabi esh, it's still bishul de kli rishon. If you're pouring from the kettle on top of the droplets of water in the cup, so that's Iri from a kli rishon is mevashel kadei klipo. So it's a problem, you're being mevashel the droplets of water on the bottom of the cup. That's why the Gedolim suggested the last 100 years or so that everybody should dry out the cup and make sure you're not causing bishul on the droplets in the cup. So at Tzvi Pesach Frank discusses, is this a chumra or is this mikra adin? Why shouldn't it be mikra adin? Because less than a kashir, because you're cooking less than a kashir. No, but we assume chatzishir asam and atayra by bishul. If you cook less than a shear, we assume it isn't Issa Deraisa. So why should it only be a chumra? Why shouldn't it be Mikra Adin? But on the other hand, for many generations, people, the Pashtuni, the people were not careful about that. They used to pour the burning hot water directly on top. They didn't dry out the cups. That's a recent innovation. So is it that the people were just sleeping? For centuries, the Jews were sleeping and they didn't realize that they're violating Bishul every Shabbos by pouring the burning hot water on top of the droplets that were left in the cup. So Tzvi Pesach Frank raises the possibility that maybe this is only a chumra. Why is Mikra Adin? Why should it be Mutter? So he suggests maybe there's a vort of Iker and Tafel and Bishul also, just like the Mishnah has a vort of Iker and Tafel in Hoitzoh, Potter, Afal Akli, Mitnei Shakli, Tfeilolo. So maybe here, the few droplets on the bottom of the cup, that's really Tafel. No one's interested in cooking that. You're right that he reads Mavashal Kadei Klippa, but since he's not interested in that, he has enough water in the cup to drink without those droplets, just like the first time he drank the cup. He left over 10 drops of water, so the second time he's also going to leave over 10 drops of water. So he's really not interested in that. So if you do a malacha bishul and you're not interested, we label it as a malacha shen spicha l'gufa. That's also with the Rabbana. But maybe over here, maybe we should call it like an ikar and a tafel. He's not really interested in the whole thing, so maybe there's no din of bishul at all on those droplets.
Is it possible to say, like, when you heat it up the first time? I don't know, would this be good enough that it, like, it'll get rid of the germs, or when you heat it up?
You're explaining why even by water you can say a bishul aha bishul minatari, even though it cooled off mamish. Yeah, because something was accomplished the first time, namely killed the germs, and that has a lasting effect. The germs are still going to remain dead. Yeah, you could argue like that, but it's difficult. Why is it difficult? Because the Rambam gives you the definition of bishul in three categories. It says there's bishul by ochlim, and bishul by mashkim, and bishul by non-food items. The bishul by ochlim is you take raw potatoes and you make them edible. You take raw chicken and raw flesh, you cook and you make it edible. When you make it roi lachila, to Michael Bender is there. Then by mashkim he says hamachamim is hamayim, when you heat it up till it becomes yatzal lettuce. And then by non-food items like tar, or a peg of wood, or different funny cases in the Gemara. So you heat it. So the Rambam says either you soften something that's hard, or you harden something that's soft. The Gemara says that you soften. The Rambam says either you soften or you harden. You change the consistency of the item, which is a non-food item, by heating it. He never says that killing the germs is an accomplishment of the bishul. The Pashto says hamechamim is hamayim. So once you mechamim the mind, that's bishul, then it reverts, then it cools off and it goes back to room temperature. So you're starting anew again, even though the germs that were killed the first time don't have to, they didn't get a tchias hameisim, you don't have to kill them again the second time. But that's not the definition of bishul on water. The definition of bishul on water, the way the Rambam writes from the Gemara, is hamechamim is hamayim. When you take water below yatzoletis and you cook it up till it becomes yatzoletis. So that's why the Eglei Tal didn't go for that explanation. There is a change in the taste of the water also. Fresh water and cooked water have a different taste. But also that's not significant to the definition of bishul on water. Definition of bishul on water, hamechamim is hamayim. When you take water that's not yatzal lettuce and you make it yes yatzal lettuce. So that's why his original suggestion was that you should have bishul acha bishul deraisa l'chol hadeis by plain old water. That there shouldn't have been any machlekes. Machlekes should be restricted only to soup. Anyway, that was Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's suggestion, that maybe I should apply the concept of Iker and Tofel in the area of Bishul, so pouring from the kettle on top of the two few droplets of water in the cup, maybe Mikra Adin it's Mutter, because Mamash a Tofel, maybe it's only a Chumim. Rabbi Eider, I think, quotes from Abaron Kotler that he's, Rabbi Eider learns in Lakewood now, so he, for many years. So he writes in the name of Rabban Kotel that he thought that this was an Issa Deraisa, pouring the water. When I learned in Lakewood, before Rabbi Yaida learned in Lakewood, Rabban Kotel was still alive at that time. My impression was that they said that Rabban Kotel said it was only a chumrah, but it doesn't matter whether Rabban Kotel said yes or no. Let's see, Pesach Frank raised the issue. Is this chumrah or is this medina, that you have to dry out the cup before you pour the water in it? Yeah. What's the din if you carry a living person? Hamotias achai b'mita potar af alamita shamita tfeilolo ikir and tofa. Why is it potar al achai though? Why is it potar al achai? The answer is because achai nasi asatzmon. I think Gemara says, but that's a machlekes satanaim. Well, achai nasi asatzmon. Gemara says no. The machlekes satanaim is only on behema chayev yof. That's a Tosefta. That's quoted on the sixth line from the top of Tzarek Dal and Amar Aleph. Titania Tosefta. Amotz Bei Mechai Biol Shus Rabim is a Machlekes Hatanoim whether Achai Nos Es Atzmo. But everybody agrees. Afilu Teimer Rabban and Arkan Luhir Rabban Alei Rab Nosno Bei Mechai Biyoif. But by Yodim everybody agrees that Achai Nos Es Atzmo. Yeah. Where does this come from? What does it mean Achai Nos Es Atzmo? So Tosis had two pshatim. They had a pshat that they liked and a pshat that they didn't like. So the pshat that they liked is that all of the malachas are learned out from the Mishkan, and all of many of the details of Hoytzar are also learned out from the Mishkan. How do you determine what's the definition of Rishus Rabim Deraisa? Has to be Tezayin Amma Y. Why? Because the Gemara says in the Midbar, when they were traveling the highway, the Gemara proves that the highway had to be a minimum of Tezayin Amma Y. Has to be able to accommodate Shishim Ribo. There is a machlekes harishonim that the Mishkan is Yankev brought by Riches about, and the Mishnah Brura refers to it, and the Aruch HaShulchan refers to this Mishkan is Yankev. Machlekes harishonim, in order to qualify the Rishus Rabim Deraisa, do you actually need that there should be Shishim Ribot people roaming in the streets of the city, or is it enough if it's Roy to have Shishim Ribot people? That they all agree you need Shishim Ribot. The reason why you need Tezayin Amma is because Tezayin Amma accommodated the Shishim Ribot people in the Midbar. So that everybody agrees that you need Shishim Riba. They just argue, that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, they just argue that is it sufficient if it's Roy to accommodate Shishim Riba, you actually need the Shishim Riba. Because that's learned out from the Midbar. Then the Mishnah says, well, you're carrying the right hand and the left hand. If you're right with the left hand, it's only the Rabbanah, if you're a righty. If you're right with the right hand, is their Raisa. What if you carry right hand, left hand, they're both their Raisa, because not Kol Kalachayat. So the Mishnah says, because we learn it out from Masa Ben Ekos, we learn it out from the Midbar, that's the way they used to carry things in the Midbar, the right hand and the left hand, we learn out of Shusarab and Mekura is not, doesn't qualify as Shusarab if it has a roof on top, that everything is learned out from the Midbar. So this too, Tosfos says, learned out from the Midbar, that the people used to walk, they didn't carry anybody, everybody who was able to go would walk or ride on the animals. Since a person didn't carry another person, so a human being is not included in the prohibition of Hoytzar. The same thing, the behemoths that were able to walk, people didn't carry them. The behemoths walked. So that's what prompted Rav Nosson to say, Achai Nos Es Atzmo, even by Mehem Chai V'yoyf, because you're learning out from the Midbar. In the Midbar, it was any live animal that was able to walk, walked. People didn't carry them. So that's the mocker that Tosfos does like. The mocker for the principle of Achai Nos Es Atzmo, however you're going to apply it. The Chachamim only apply to Adam, and Rav Nosson applies even to Behem Chai V'yoyif. So that's all learned out from the Midbar, from the Mishkan, in Mishkan Gamina. That's the pshat that they do accept. The pshat that they don't accept, the Jews always have to have two pshat, and the pshat that you do accept, the pshat that you don't accept. The pshat that Tosfos didn't accept was that Hachai Mekel Al Atzmo, that when a person is dead, he feels heavier than when he's alive. The fact that a person is alive is achai mekel al atzmo. So therefore what? Achai mekel al atzmo. So he's weighing less. If I would have been dead, so it would have been heavier for people to carry me. It would have felt as if they're carrying 300 pounds of weight. And like this, they're carrying, whatever, 200 pounds of weight, 180 pounds of weight. So I'm lighter. So Tosfos says, but if you carry something that's only a half a pound, you're also chai. So what does it help that achai nesesat is mekel al atzmo? It feels lighter, it's not so heavy when you carry it. Even something that's less weight than 180 pounds, even if it's a half a pound, so the answer is no, but this is called Shnaim Shasu. Because of the fact that Achai Mekel Al Atzmo, so it's considered as if the person who carries me on his shoulders, together with me, together, if I'm dead, so he's carrying me all on his own, the whole weight, the whole dead weight he's carrying. But if I'm still alive, so I make Achai Mekel Al Atzmo, so it's called Shnaim Shasu. So that's why I'm potter, because it's Shnaim Shasu. So Tosfos thinks that that's a joke. Shnaim Shasu is only potter if it's Zeh Yochol V'Zeh Yochol. He could have carried me without my assistance, and I could have carried myself without his assistance. So Tosfos says, but if the guy's carrying me on his shoulders, he could have probably carried me on his shoulders even if I would be dead. It would be a little more difficult, I would be heavier. But I cannot walk in the air without it being on his shoulders. Alive or dead, how can I walk? Yoshke, supposedly. No, walked on the water, whatever. Whatever the mitzvah was. How can a person walk in the air? So if a guy, if I'm sitting on someone else's shoulders and they're going to pull out the guy from below, so I'm going to fall down on the ground. I can walk on the ground by myself, but I can't walk in the middle of the air by myself. So basically it's their yachol, the zayin yachol. He could carry me on his shoulders even if I would be dead, and I wouldn't be assisting him by achai mekel al atzma. And I do not have the ability to walk in midair without him. So it's he's their yachol, the zayin yachol. He could have carried me on his shoulders without my assisting him. And I cannot accomplish it at all. So that's not called shnaim shasu. The Eina Yochol is called Misayei Ein Bo Mamish, and the Yochol is Chayim. So why do you say Achay Mekel Achay Neses Atzmo? Why don't you say Misayei Ein Bo Mamish? So Tosfos rejects that interpretation. But apparently they're alluding to a pshat that did exist. There was somebody who said that pshat. So what is this based on? Don't we have a principle of Misayei Ein Bo Mamish? So we. Rav Velvel Soloveitchik, in the shiurim that they have on the first daf in Bechoris, tries to defend this sheet. What is it doing on the first daf in Bechoris? So if you look on the Masoras Hashas, on the margin, on the right side, you'll see why. Because the Gemara quotes on the first daf in Bechoris, Ben Beser Mata Besus. What's the issue of Ben Beser? What's the whole background over there? The Mishnah says in Avodah Zorah, you're not permitted to sell a Behema Gasa to a Nochri all week long. What's wrong? So one consideration is, if you're going to sell a horse to a Nochri, you can use the horse to trample someone to death. Trample a Jew to death, trample a Nochri to death. So that's like selling weapons. You're not allowed to sell guns to a Nochri who can use the gun to kill someone who's living near the city of Mirshal. You're going to sell him a horse and may trample someone to death, so that's like selling him a weapon. That's one kind of Nochri that you're selling to. What if you're selling to a nice, decent Nochri, an next-door neighbor? I know he's not going to kill anybody. He wouldn't harm a fly. So that chashash doesn't apply, so it's a different chashash. The Gemara says, you're not permitted to sell behema gasa to a nocher because of sheila uschiris v'nesyoinei. What is that all about? The sheila and schiris is like this. There is a din of shvisas behemto. Shvis behemto means, l'sasako melocha ato v'ilchavitecho v'avducha v'amoscho u'behemtecho. I'm not allowed to do melocha. My behema is not allowed to do melocha. What does that mean? Not only am I not allowed to carry anything, I'm not allowed to have my behemoth carry anything for me. If I make my behemoth carry something for me, that's not allowed. But the Gemara says, but that's not called Shvisas Behemto, that's called Mechamer. Mechamer Acha Behemto B'Shabbos. If I put a package on the back of the behemoth and I make the behemoth carry it, so that's one lot. That's an Issa Mechamer Acha Behemto B'Shabbos. The Gemara has a discussion in the end of Masechah Shabbos regarding Mechamer. Maybe it's an Iser Misa, maybe there's an Iser Malkus, maybe there's an Iser Koris. Comes out, there's no Misa, there's no Malkus. Okay, there's no Koris. There's a Dina Mechama. But what is Shvisas Behemto? Shvisas Behemto is something different. If the Behema belongs to me, even if my next door neighbor is using the Behema, let's say I have I'm friendly with my non-Jewish next door neighbor, and we have a deal, like give him permission to use my property, my automobile whenever he wants, he can use my wagon, my Behema whenever he wants, and I can use his. We all use each other's things. So my next door neighbor, the Nochri, decides on Shabbos, he wants to use my horse to carry packages for him. So he says, hey, do whatever you want, he's not Jewish, what's the problem? So the Pasuk says, no, if the behema belongs to you, you're not permitted to allow your behema to be involved in carrying packages on Shabbos, even though they're not being carried for you. If I make the behema carry for me, that's called Mecham Acha Behemta B'Shabbos. If I allow the Nochri, if I'm aware of it, if I'm not aware, I'm not aware. Misasik, but if I'm aware of it, I know that the Nochri friend of mine is using my behema to transport packages. I have to tell him it's against my religion. I may not allow you to use my behema. If he gives me a hard time, beats me up, so I'm putta. Okay. The Koch Nefesh is Doicha Dechil Shabbos. But if he'll listen to me, so I should tell him. My religion doesn't permit me to allow my animal to be used for malacha purposes on Shabbos. That's called Shvisas Behemto. So the halacha says you're not allowed to rent your behemoth to a Nochri or lend it out to the Nochri if you think that the Nochri may be using the behemoth on Shabbos to carry packages on. If the Nochri is going to go horseback riding, so Achai Neses Atzmai. So that if a person would carry another person, say Chaynos Asatzmo, so behemah is no problem. So that's Ben Bisera Mata Basus. Ben Bisera says you're permitted to sell a horse to a Nochri if you know for sure he's not going to use the horse to kill anybody or to trample anyone. Otherwise, it's an issa because of lifnei v'lisita mishal. But he's a nice next door neighbor of yours, so you know he's a lovely person. He's not a gangster, so he's not going to use it to harm a fly. So the only shaila is, but he's going to use it to carry packages. The Ben Maseri says, "What do you mean carry packages on Shabbos? They use horses for people to ride on. If it's a horse that's miyuchad for people to ride on, a horse that's miyuchad to have birds to ride on, whatever." The Gemara touches up the case. What's Ben Maseri talking about? So then Ben Maseri says, "No problem." But let's say it would be a behemoth that usually is used, a mule or whatever, a donkey that's usually used to carry packages, to carry burdens. So then she'elo uschiris is forbidden to rent it to an ochri or to lend it to an ochri that he should use it for transporting packages on Shabbos is not allowed, because that's my violation of shvisas behemti that I allow the guy to use it. And with the rabbanon, they prohibited selling a mule or a donkey to an ochri be'agzera mishum she'elo uschiris. If you'll allow selling it to an ochri, so people will make a mistake and they'll think, what if to sell it is mutter, so zicha mutter to rent it to the goy. And there's a difference, to rent it to the goy, it's still mine, so it's my shvis is b'empty, not allowed. Then the Gemara says, and there's a third concern, mishum nisyoine, mishum shela, mishum schiris, you're not allowed to rent it to the goy, not allowed to lend it to the goy. If you think that he may be using it on Shabbos, I rent it to the goy from Sunday through Friday, he has to give it back on Friday. So that's not a problem. But if I'll rent it to the goy for a month, and he may use it on Shabbos, so that'll be my violation of Shisit Behemtoi. So they prohibited even selling to a Nachri. You may mislead people into thinking that they're allowed to rent to a Nachri as well. And then the third consideration was Mishum Nisyoine. When a person buys an automobile, so he wants to try it out first to see if it works. So when you buy a cow, when you buy an animal, you also want to try it out to see if it's going to work. So I may be interested in selling a behemoth to the Nachri, and it may be late Friday afternoon, he'll say, okay, let me see if this behemoth is sturdy enough to carry packages. Let me have the behemoth for a few hours and I'll bring it back later and I'll tell you when I want to buy the behemoth. Fine, so he signs a document that he took my behemoth on loan to test it, and he's going to be testing my behemoth to see if it carries packages, and he may cause the behemoth to carry packages on Leil Shabbos. So the Gemara says, if you're giving your behemoth gasa to the Nochri late on Friday afternoon, and he may test it out, that's called Nisyane. He may test out the behemoth to see how good it carries packages on Leil Shabbos, but that'll be my violation of Shvisa Bento. So that's why they prohibited selling a behemoth gasa to a Nochri all week long. So it's on that daf, on the first daf in Bechoris, the base, Oman Aleph, that the Gemara quotes this Ben Besera Mata Besus. Ben Besera says, the Tana Ben Besera says, if there's no concern that the Nochri is going to use the horse to injure someone, and the only concern is that he's going to use the horse to transport animals on it, if it's a horse that people ride on, so all the Tanoim agree that Achai Nesai Satzman. That's what Robert just said. Everybody agrees. Adam Chai, Achai Nesai Satzman. So Ben Miser, Mata Basuz goes, if it's a Sus Ham Yuchod, Laofos. So that's going to be a machlekes hatanoim. Fine. So that's on the first daf in Bukharis, this is mentioned. So that's why in the Shiurim of Rav Elbel, on that daf, they quote this comment. The Rav Elbel pointed out that Taisus here on Tzadik Dalet has the two explanations. What does mean achai nesei satzman? So the popular opinion that Taisus came to the conclusion was he's learning out everything from the Mishkan, from the Midbar. And the Mishkan, the people and the live animals walked on their own. They didn't have one person carrying another person. And the pshat that they rejected was that Achai Nesai Satzmai is called Shnaim Shasu. So Tesis didn't like that because it's Zeyachim Zeyachim Zeyachim. That's Rav Elbel on the first half of Chorus has a comment on this. He says maybe that opinion that Tesis holds, that the only time you say Zeyachim Zeyachim, the Eina Yachol is Meseyei Ein Bamamish, if the two of us are doing a malacha, doing a pu'ula to a third object. But what if the two of us are doing a pu'ula on my body, on the body of the Eina Yachol? And if you're going to say you cut him out of the picture, he's a misayay, a mamamish, you ignore him, you consider him kamisha eno. But if he's kamisha eno, if he's not here in the picture, so the whole malacha doesn't get off the ground. The malacha is done on my body here. I and the fellow whose shoulders I'm sitting on, I and he are carrying me in midair. So if you're going to say, well, I'm misayay, a mamamish, he considers if I'm not here. If I'm not here, so there's no chefza of the malacha. I'm the chefza of the malacha here. So Rav Elbel suggests maybe that opinion that Taisus holds, that whenever the body of the Eina Yochol is the Chefta Shel HaMelacha, then that opinion in Tosfos thinks that you can't apply the Klal of Misayayayim Bomamish. So this apparently is the famous view of the Taz in Yerideya, as well as the Taz in Arachayim and Hilchot Shabbos. In Yerideya, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Chumrah of the Raivit, that there is a Mishnah in Ohol, Mishnah in the end of Mikvos, the last parak in Mikvos, next to the last parak in Mikvos. The Mishnah is in Mikvos, the last two prokem talk about chatzitzas on kelim. When you toivel a kli, when an adam is toivel in the mikveh, you have to make sure there are no chatzitzas on the bottom. If you have skibs, if you have crust on the eyes, if you have dirt, so you have to wash off all the chatzitzas before a person is toivel on the mikveh. And you have to make sure there are no chatzitzas on begodim or on kelim that you toivel in the mikveh. So then the Mishnah has a discussion. You have to be toivel the entire kli or the entire adam in the mikveh at one time. Toivel half now and half later, you toivel this half now and half later, that's no good. If you have a treif knife and you want to kasher it, you do hagola, so you can dip in a half a knife into the burning hot water, hold it there for half a minute, then turn upside down and hold the other half of the knife in the hot water. Hagola can be done to different parts of the kli bizar hazeh, but the tefilas kelim, the mitzvah tefilas kelim, you have to be tevel maim shikol gufa oyle behem bevasachas. You have to be tevel the whole gufa adam and the whole gufa kli bevasachas. It can be tevel half at a time. So the Mishnah has a discussion in mikvahs. Let's say a guy has a frying pan with a handle, and the handle is very long. It's 2 feet long. That's abnormal. By mistake, they put on a handle that's way too long. He's going to have to take it to the store, to the hardware store, and they have a machine that cuts metal, or take it to the super of his building, and the super has a machine that cuts metal. They're going to cut it shorter. And he plans to cut it shorter. So what's the din? He bought this kli, it's Tomei, or he bought the kli from a guy, and he wants to do Tfilos Kelim. So does he have to be toivel the entire kli with the entire handle all the way to the end of the 2 feet? Or do you say, maybe I should say, it's not normal to have a handle on a frying pan 2 feet long. It gets in everybody's way. It's only going to remain 8 inches long, 6 inches long, whatever is normal. So maybe I should say, that part that's past the first 6 inches doesn't need tefillah in the mikveh. I only have to be toivel up until the 6 inches. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. And we don't pask in kolayim lachtach gechotach dami. So the Ravid wrote a sefer on the laws of Taras HaMishpacha, the Bali HaNefesh, nice, easy Hebrew. So the Ravid writes in his sefer, based on a passage in the Gemara in Zvachim, Bamed Bar Mamurim, when do you say that we don't accept that opinion of the Tanoim kolayim lachtach gechotach dami, and you only have to be toivel up until that part of the handle that's going to remain? That's because it's not so easy for a layman to cut off. It's not so easy for a layman to cut off the metal. You have to have a special instrument. But what if a person has, let's say, fingernails, and they plan to cut their nails? The nails are long, you plan to cut the nails. So, do you have to be... funny case. Let's say a person has very long nails, a few inches or so. Some of the women love to have long nails. Other women can't stand having long nails. So this woman has very long nails. She didn't have access. Say she was in prison or something. Sick in the hospital, so she didn't have access to a nail cutter. And now she has to go to the mikveh and she has to cut her nails. So does she have to cut the nails before she goes to the mikveh or not? So the rabbi says, yeah, that since it's very easy for a layman to cut your nails, you take a nail cutter, you cut it off yourself. You don't need a mumche. You have to go to a manicurist to cut your nails. You can do it yourself. So since it's an easy thing, you can even bite it off with your teeth. So then you say, kolayim alachtach kechotach domi, and the extra part of the nail, that's aimed lachtach, right now, it's aimed lachtach, is considered as if it's not part of the body, and that constitutes a chatzitza on the tip of the nail. When a person is toivel in the mikveh, you have to have the water should touch this side of his arm, this side of his arm, this side of his hand, that side, and the tip of the fingers, and the tip of the nail. So if you have a very long nail, and you're going to cut off an eighth of an inch of a nail, or a quarter of an inch of a nail, whatever amount you don't want to be there, so the extra part of the nail is considered extraneous to the body, and it constitutes a chatzitza vis-a-vis the point where the nail is going to be after I'm going to cut it off. So that's an issue of chatzitza. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that we're machmer on that the women, if they need to cut their nails, sometimes the woman does need, her nails are short enough, the nails are good the way they are, so that it's not oimid lachtach. The whole issue only is if oimid lachtach kachatzitza dami. Same thing, let's say here, let's say by a man, let's say a man is going to go to mikveh and he really wants to shave, but he has no time. Now he has time to go to the mikveh, and later in the morning he's going to shave before he goes to work. Yeah, but since he could have shaved now also, there's no reason why he just doesn't have time not to shave. There's nothing that's ma'akev him from shaving before he goes to the mikveh. So they say that, let's say he would want to trim his beard. So the extra hair that's sloppy, that he wants to cut off, that hair is already, since he can do it all by himself, he has a trimmer on his shaver, he can trim his beard himself. Let's say the guy has the ability to give himself a haircut. He has a machine that he can give himself a haircut. And he really needs a haircut. His hair is very long and bushy. So if he's going to go to the mikveh before he cuts off that extra hair, that will constitute a chatzitza. The hair or the fingernails that he could have easily taken off himself, you don't need a mumche to take it off, that would constitute a chatzitza. So this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch Yerodeh. We're machmer for this writing. What if by mistake a woman went to mikveh, she forgot to cut her fingernails? So even b'diyeved we would tell her she cut her fingernails and be tevel a second time, b'li brocha. We don't paskin like the Raiva that is mamsha chatzitz, you have to be tevel again with a brocha, she should be tevel without a brocha. What if lona itzel bailo? What if she went to the mikveh and she was with her husband, and then later on, afterwards she realized she forgot to cut her nails, and then you're going to tell a woman, achumre, be machmeh for the Raiva, go back to the mikveh, and be tevel again a second time without a brocha. So then it's going to come out that she was with her husband, she violated the isekoris, that the tefillah was no good. So the whole thing is only a chumra mikra. Then we don't really hold like this. If lana itzal baila, so then you got to look in Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes they make a lana. We're not always, because it's really a chumra mikra. Then we really don't hold like the Raivit. The whole thing is only a chumra. So sometimes we'll make. So the Ramoa in Yerideya writes the following shalom. What if it's Leil Shabbos or Leil Yom? The woman has to go to mikveh and she forgot to cut her nails on Erev Shabbos. And we are medactic on this midas chasidus, this chumra, to satisfy the rabbit shita, to cut the nails short before the woman is tevel in the mikveh. So the Rama says, the woman should ask a nochris to cut her nails off with a nail cutter, and that's amir le nochri ananisa de rabbanon. So it's a shuz du shuz b'makam mitzvah. Going to mikveh at the right time is considered a mitzvah, either because tefillah b'zman a mitzvah, or we discussed yesterday that rov harishonim. In the days of the Rishonim, Barovah Rishonim helped tefillah b'zman a lot mitzvah, but still, it's a mitzvah to go to mikveh. For a married woman to go to mikveh, it's a mitzvah that to prevent her from and her husband from sitting. So we assume that it's some kind of a mitzvah. So we would allow a shvuz the shvuz b'makam mitzvah. You have to violate something that's only forbidden based on a combination of two. You assume the rabbanon. That's called the shvuz the shvuz. So amir l'nochri is only an isa de rabbanon. If I myself would cut my nails off, the Rama assumes that's only an isa de rabbanon based on the tesis. Because I'm not going to use the nails that are cut off. I'm going to throw them out in the garbage. Where was that Taisus? That's Taisus and Tzadik Dalet on the base. Taisus says, Aval Bekli Dere Hakol Chayov, if you use a nail cutter to cut off your nails, so the Gemara says, Yechayv Chatos means that it's a Melocha Deraisa. So Taisus says, that Shaloika Halocha. Hain Alibid Rab Yudid, Mechayv Melocha Shen Tzvich Lagufo. But if you hold Halocha like Rab Shimon, the Melocha Shen Tzvich Lagufo is only the Rabbanon. So whenever you cut off your nails and you throw them out in the garbage, the worst it can be is only an Isa de Rabbanon. So the Ramah is following, Ramah quotes a Trumas Adeshin, who follows the Taisvis, who passes in the Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa is only the Rabbanon. So cutting off your nails and throwing them in the garbage is a Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa. So if I ask a Nochris to cut off my nails, that's called the Shvuz de Shvuz. Amir L'Nochris is only the Rabbanon, and even if I myself would cut off my nails and throw them in the garbage, that's same Tzvicha L'Gufa. So if I ask the Nochris to cut off my nails, that's the Shvuz de Shvuz. And for the woman to go to mikveh in the right time, that's called the Makam Mitzvah. So Shvuz de Shvuz, Makam Mitzvah is Mutter. So the Taz picks on the Ramah. He thinks we shouldn't pass him like that. He says, when is it Amir L'Nochri only an Isa de Rabbanon if I ask the Nochri to drive my automobile? I ask the Nochri to turn on the lights. But if I'm asking the Nochri, I stretch out my fingers and I ask the Nochri to do malacha on my fingers. So the Taz says, what do you mean? But I'm a sayeya. I'm stretching out my fingers, they're doing the malacha begufi. So you can't see over here, Amir l'Nochri is the Rabbanon. Since the malacha is taking place on my body and I'm allowing it, I'm encouraging it, so that's an Isa deraisa. Why is that an Isa deraisa? Where did he get it from? There's a long arichas, and he says he got it from the Gemara in the end of Makkos. The Gemara says there's a lav, whoever shaves off his payas, if you shave off your beard or if you cut off your payas, even not with a razor, we follow Taisus follows the Bavli. The Bavli says that the iser on shaving the beard is only with a razor. If you shave the beard without a razor, then simple reading the Gemara, there's no iser. Shal may be an iser de rabbanon. Some Rishonim hold that if you shave off the beard without a razor, there's an Issa d'Rabbanan. That's what the Chafetz Chaim wrote a few svarim on not shaving. He, in his healthier years, when he was able to see, he wouldn't allow anyone to get an aliyah in the yeshiva who was clean shaven. In the older years, the Talmidim who, the Rabbanim in the yeshiva who learned in Radin, knew the Chafetz Chaim in his older years when he couldn't see already. He lived to a very old age. So in his older years he couldn't see, so then the Gaboim gave aliyahs to clean shaven Talmidim and he wasn't aware of it. But in principle he was not happy about it. He said he's not sure how you should paskin. They asked him, how does he paskin? So he says he doesn't know. He didn't write a Mishnah Berurah on Yeridaya. If he would have written a Mishnah Berurah on Yeridaya, he says he doesn't know what he would paskin when it would come to Ilchus Peyus. Whether you should be choshish for those who shown him hold that there's an Issa d'Rabbanan to shave off the beard even if you don't use a razor. So anyway, so as far as the beard is concerned, at least in the Gemara it says, if you don't use a razor, it sounds like it's mutter. As far as the payas are concerned, so the Rambam paskins like the Tosefta that the payas also is only forbidden if you use a razor. If you don't use a razor, if you hold the shaver is mutter on the beard, then the Rambam holds the shaver is mutter on the payas also, so you can shave off all the payas. You don't have to leave any payas. The reason why we don't do that, we only use a shaver on the beard, not on the payas, because we follow Tosefta, who says that the Gemara is beferish against it. The Gemara in Nazir talks about the Nazir when he finishes the Naziris. So the laws of Nazir only affect the top of his head, doesn't affect the bottom of his head. While he's a Nazir, if he wants, he can shave his beard. Gabal Peres Arosha, Tali Aval Arosha only goes on the hair on the top of the head, but the hair on the bottom of the head, the Zokan, he was never forbidden, I mean, during the Naziris, to shave off that hair. And when the Naziris is over and he's required to shave off all his hair with the razor, it only goes on the hair on top of the head. The hair on the beard he doesn't have to shave off. So that's why the Gemara in the middle of Nazir has discussions about Akofis Arosh and Akofis Azokan, the details of cutting off payas on the middle of Maseches Nazir. So the Gemara says in the end of Makis in Perikei Lahin Aloikin, the Mishnah gives you a list of all the people that deserve Malkus. So it says one who shaves off his payas gets Malkus. Then the Gemara says, what if I go to the barber and the barber shaves off my payas? So the barber is Jewish and he gets Malkus. Do I get Malkus? I just sat there. That's a lav shame on my side. How can I get Malkus? So the Gemara said, if I lean over and I make it easier for the barber to shave off my payas with the shave off my beard with a razor, shave off the payas with a shaver, whatever. So then the Gemara says, if I am Misayaya, then I get Malkus, and if I'm not Misayaya, then I don't get Malkus. So the Rishonim asked the Kasha, what does it help if I'm Misayaya? I can lean over from today till next year, the beard and the pace are not going to get shaved off. And the barber can shave off the beard and the pace even if I don't lean over. He'll lean over. The barber will lean over a little bit. So it's Tachazeh Yachol, Bezeh Yachol. The barber can cut off the beard and the pace without my leaning over. And I can lean over from today till next year, nothing is going to happen. So you should say Zei Yochel is Eino Yochel. The Eino Yochel is Maseya Eim Bar Mamish, and the Yochel is doing everything. So why does the Gemara say that the one who has the beard and pay shaved off is going to get Malkus? So the Taz says the Teretz is the Kash. All the Rishonim is the Kash. So the Taz says the Teretz is that since I'm Maseya and Avera is done on my body, the shaving off the pay, shaving off my face and my beard, and I'm allowing him. I'm even encouraging him, or not encouraging, I'm permitting him to shave off my beard and payah, so his ma'isa does relate to me, even though it's a zayachol, the zayna yachol. You can't say that the ena yachol is misayaya ein bo mamish, and you consider him kamisha eno. How can it be kamisha eno? The avera is taking place on his body. If he's cut out of the picture, so there's no one is doing an avera to anything. So that corny svara, that Rav Elbala said it in to defend this position in the Tosfos, that you can't say Misayaya ain't bo mamish by a highness as atman, because the malach is done begufo. So that's what the Taz says over there. The Taz is the one who says that svar. And the Taz has it repeated in Hilchos Shabbos. The Ramah writes the same thing in Hilchos Shabbos that he wrote in Yerideya by the woman, by the Chatzitza, having the nachris cut off the fingernails. So the Ramah writes in Hilchos Shabbos, a person has a terrible toothache and the dentist don't know what to do, so they recommend we're going to pull out the tooth, that'll solve the whole problem. Fine. Today they have maybe better methods of treating the toothache, but in the days of the Ramah, the way to treat the toothache is to yank out the tooth, right? So there won't be any more pain. But yanking out a tooth is going to cause bleeding. That's a malacha. So you're not allowed to cause a malacha. Not a chayla mesukan. You're not allowed to do a malacha. So he's going to ask a nachri to do the malacha over here. So the Rama says, Amir al-Nachri is mutter b'makam cholo shem b'sakana. Since the guy has excruciating pain over here, he can't function because he has such pain from the toothache. So the Amir al-Nachri is mutter over here. So the Taz Tain is over there. What do you mean? Amir al-Nachri lowers the level of the Easter. It becomes an Easter derabban if you ask the guy. That's only if I ask a guy to turn on the lights. I ask a guy to drive a car. I ask a guy to harvest the tefuah. So if I would have done it, a person would have been in their eyes. And now that I ask the Nachri to do it on some other object, it's only lower down to the level of Rabban. But if they ask the Nachri to pull my tooth out, and I open up my mouth, and he's yanking out the tooth. So since the Malach is done, Bigufi said that, and I'm Misayaya, I help him do it. He could have knocked me out, and he could have opened up my mouth, he could have done it anyway. But he's not doing it like that. He's doing it with my authorization, with my encouragement, on my body. So you can't say that I'm Kimisha Eino Domi. What do you mean Kimisha Eino? I'm the center of attraction over there. The whole Malach is taking place on my tooth. He's pulling out my tooth and causing the bleeding. So the Taz writes over there also that since the Malach is done on my goof, you can't say that I'm Kimisha Eino Domi. And the Shach says that the whole Taz is ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. He says the Rishonim asked the Kasha on this Gemara, if I lean over in the barber chair in the barber shop and I make it easier for the barber to cut off my payas or to shave my beard with the razor, so I get malchus. So the Rishonim asked the Kasha, why but Mesayim ba Mamish? So the Shach and then the Nekudas HaKesef has a long Arichas there in Yeridah. He quotes from the Ravid on Hilchas Avodah Zarah, where the Ravid basically asks this Kasha and gives an answer. So the Ravid says, even if I'll sit there, I won't move. I won't be Messiah, one direction or the other. And the Jewish barber will, let's say it's a Jewish barber, the Goyish barber doesn't make a difference. And he'll shave off my beard on my payas. I will be Ben Kovako. I will be in violation of the Yisra of Nikif. There's an Yisra Lab Lamakif and there's an Yisra on the Nikif. So if the barber who shaves off the beard of the payas shaves off the beard of the payas of a non-Jew, there's no problem. That's like shaving off the beard of the payas of a behemoth. Taisus writes in Shavuos that for a Jewish barber, to shave off with a razor, the beard of the face of a non-Jew is permissible. There's no Issa Makif on that. It's only an Issa Makif if the Jewish barber shaves off the beard of the face of a Jewish customer. So there's a Lavla Makif and there's a Lavla Nikif, the Ravid writes on the Minyan HaMitzvahs, on the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaRama. So if you have a Jewish barber shaving off the beard of the face, that's his Issa. Then there's a Lav on the Nikif. If I just sit there and I allow the barber, Jew or non-Jewish barber, doesn't make it, I allow him to shave off my beard and my payas. So I'm over and aver. The only thing is I'm ain't a loike because it's a lav sheim omaisim. So if I lean over, that converts the lav sheim omaisim into a lav sheim omaisim. But it's not that the misayaya makes it. If I wouldn't be misayaya, would have been mutter. Now that I'm misayaya, makes it awesome. No, it's the misayaya ain't bo mamish. The Ravid says we're talking about a limited case, a special case over here. The ben kovako, the nikif is over and aver. By being shavi al tase, he's over and aver. By allowing the barber to shave off his beard of payas, the nikif is already in violation of the law. But normally it's a lav sheim ma'isa, ain't loikim olav. So if he does the siyua, then he makes into a lav sheim ma'isa. But it's not that the sayeya yesh bo mamish because it's done bigufi, and therefore it doesn't count as amir l'nachri. No, of course it's amir l'nachri. The Jew didn't do the malacha. It's still the shach tainis in the long, the kudus hakesef, and yeridei in hilchus tvila, that the Ramo is right. Both in Arachayim by pulling the tooth, Ayideyakum, as well as in Yerideya by having the Nachris cut off the fingernails. So where did the Taz get his? The Taz is against the Ravid. The Ravid, the Shach quoted the Ravid in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. The Rambam quotes the Dinim of cutting off face in the end of Hilchas Avodah Zarah. Why does it belong in Hilchas Avodah Zarah? He didn't have any other place to put it. So he should have written Hilchas, a separate Hilchas, Hashchasas, Pas HaZokan, like it is in Yeridah. No, the Rambam explains in the Mar and the Vuchim, it explains in the Mishnah Torah also, that the prohibition against shaving the beard and the payas is because this was a minig l'avodah zarah. That's why we call a galach. That's why we call a priest of another religion, we call him galachim, because they used to shave. They used to be megalech the zokan. They used to shave with a beard. So that's why we call them a galach. So the Rambam puts it in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, because this was an avodah zarah ritual. So the Rambam in Hilchas Avodah Zarah quotes all the Gemaras that if I lean over I get Malchus, but don't lean over I don't get Malchus. The Ravid writes in the Hasagas HaRavid, hey, but he forgot to say that Ben Kovako is over and Avera. The Nikiv is over and Avera anyway. If he leans over, then it's converted into a lav sheish b'maisa. If he doesn't lean over, it's a lav sheim b'maisa. In lekem all, but there is an aveira anyway. So the Ravid writes it. We're not sure whether this is a hasoge. The Ravid has a running comments. He has hasogas on the Rambam. So the Ruba, most of the time, the Ravid is in disagreement with the Rambam. Once in a while, there is a Ravid where he just explains what the words mean in the Rambam, as if he wanted to be mashlim the sefer of the Rambam. So he's crossing out whenever he thinks it's wrong, whenever it's right, but it's unclear. So he gives you a comment. He explains. He gives you a pirish what the Rambam is talking about. He liked the Rambam. He crossed out here and there, and then he touched up here and there. He explained. So you hear in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, when the Ravid writes, if he's Mesayea, then he's like, if he's ain't a Mesayea, then he's an Avera. He's ain't a Loikit, same a Maisa, but still is an Avera. It's a little unclear. Is the Ravid in disagreement with the Rambam? The Ravid understood the Rambam to say that it's Mutter. If you're not Mesayea, then you're not in violation of any Avera. Or the Ravid is explaining the Rambam. He's not in disagreement. He's explaining that if you're Mesayea, then you get Malchus. If you're not Mesayea, you're in violation of Allah, but it's Allah Shem HaMaizav Ein Lekemol. So it's unclear in the Ravid. So the Kesef Mishneh, Rav Yosef Kar writes on the side of the Rambam in the end of Hilchas Avodah Zarah, he understood the Ravid is disagreeing with the Rambam, that the Rambam thinks that if you sit in the barber chair and you're not Mesayea, you don't help out the barber when he's shaving off the beard and the payas, it's Hetagomer. The nikkav doesn't violate any avera whatsoever. It really isn't muchach to learn the Rambam like it, but that's the way the Kesef Mishneh read the Rambam. Rav Velvel Soloveitchik happened to have thought that is correct. And the notes that they have from Rav Velvel Shiurim on Nazir, in the middle of Nazir, the Gemara has a little bit of a discussion of shaving off payas, because the Nazir, when he's finished with the Naziris, has to shave off all the hair on his head, not the bottom, the beard knot. The beard is not included in the first place. When he was a Nazir, he's allowed to shave while he was a Nazir, same as anybody else can shave. And after Naziris is up, he only has to shave the hair on top, doesn't have to shave off the beard. The Metzora has to shave off all the hair. It's called Soro Yigalech. The Metzora, who's finished with the Neged Saras, has to shave off even the hair under his armpits, and the hair on the beard also. Komokim Kinesei Venira. Maybe the armpits he doesn't have to, I forgot about it. I think it's only Kinesei Venira, if it's visible. But the Gemara says clearly the Nazir, based on Pesukim Chumash, the Nazir, the beard was never included in the laws of Naziris in the first place. When the Naziris is up, he's not obligated to shave off the beard with a razor. So the Gemara in the middle of Nazir has a little bit of a discussion of Hakofas Harosh and Hakofas Hazofen. So they have Shurim from Avalvava on Nazir also. So it's like they have the Shurim Amcharis on the first daf. So in the middle of Nazir, they have in the notes from Avalvava that he thought that he thought the Kesef Mishneh was right, that the Ravid is in disagreement with the Rambam in the end of Hilchas Avodas Kochavim regarding shaving off, and that the Rambam's opinion is that there's no Avera whatsoever. Here, the Ravid is in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Aleph. The Ravid writes, Amar Avram, Afal Pishen Aloki, Kemish Midaita Osa, Ova Balav. The Nikif is in violation of the Loisesi, but it's a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. So the Kesef Mishnah and that Rambam, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Aleph, understood that the Ravid and the Rambam are in disagreement with each other. The Rambam holds that there's no Avera whatsoever. So the Velvel just added on, he thinks the Kesef Mishnah's Pshat is correct, and he thought that was the Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. We have, in this edition of the Mishnah Torah, that's the way it always used to be years ago, they always used to include the Sefer HaMitzvahs in the beginning of the Mishnah Torah. That's how it was intended. The Rambam's whole Mishnah Torah is based on the Sefer HaMitzvah. He lists off what are the 613 mitzvahs, and he says there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah doesn't mean to make chakiris and to philosophize. Talmud Torah means to know all the details, to know which are the Taryag mitzvahs of Torah. Ulamadatem osam, ushmartem, matem osam, ushmartem las osam. What do you mean osam? Osam refers to the Taryag mitzvahs. Ushmartem las osam. You should observe them. So lamadatem osam mitzvah Talmud Torah means to know which are the Taryag mitzvahs. And what are all the billion details of every mitzvah? So that's how the Rambam starts off the Mishnah Torah with the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which are the 613 mitzvahs. And then he gives you in every section, he's going to discuss the following 10 mitzvahs, the following 20 mitzvahs. And every section starts off like that. The Hilchas Yisrael HaTorah. So he says this section has 10 mitzvahs, six mitzvahs Aseh, and four mitzvahs Leiseh, and they are the following. 1, 2, 3, 4, he lists off from 1 to 10. And then he gives you the whole section. Then Hilchas Deis, he says this section has 11 mitzvahs, side mitzvahs, essay, and six mitzvahs lasses, and these are the 11 mitzvahs that we're going to explain now. 1, 2, 3, 9, 10, 11. And then he goes and he gives you every section like that. Tells you how many mitzvahs he's going to explain. So the Rambam has the whole Sefer HaMitzvahs. It was originally written in Arabic. We have the Hebrew translation. And then he has, after the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he has the Minyan HaMitzvahs LaHaRambam Zal. He has B'Kitzer. Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Kotzer, which is assumed to have also been written by the Rambam. This is an abridged form. In the Sefer HaMitzvahs, each mitzvah gets a brief paragraph. Sometimes they get a longer paragraph. And here, each mitzvah only gets one line or two or three lines. Not more. I don't know. Do you ever have more than three lines? I don't think. Yeah, here. No, three lines. The maximum you have is three lines. Usually you have one or two lines. Here's four lines. Okay. Mitzvah Samach has four lines. Very little. If you can't explain it in one or two lines, it has no prayer. You have to make four lines. But usually it's very brief. So here, in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, every so often there is a Hasogas HaRaivid. So there's a cryptic Hasogas HaRaivid on the Mitzvahs Loisesei Mem Gimel. The Rambam writes Loisesei Mem Gimel, and he has Loisesei Mem Dalet. So he has Loisesei Mem Gimel is Losakifu Pasaroshchem. And Loisesei Mem Dalet is Losashchis Piyas Zikonecho. The Rambam happens to follow the Tosefta against the Bavli and others. The Rambam follows the Tosefta that just like shaving the beard is only also with a razor, so too shaving the pay is only also by razor. And we don't pass like that. In Shulchan Aruch, we pass like Tosefta is based on the Bavli and Nazir, that the pay is also even if you're not using a razor, even if you're using a shaver, that it'd be muta by the beard, by the pay is also. So the Rambam quotes, these are the two prohibitions, lav mem gimel, lav mem dalet. You're not allowed to shave off with a razor the beard. You're not allowed to shave off with a razor the pays. That's hakifum. So there's a hasogas haraivid that's very unclear. So he writes lav la makif, lav la nikaf, lav la mashchis, v'lo la nishchas. So it's unclear what in the world is he driving at. So that was the old reading. Lav la makif, lav la nikaf, lav la mashchis, v'lo la nishchas. So according to the old reading in the Hasogas HaRaivid, the Raivid just meant to say the following. Regarding Lo Sakifu Pas Roshchem, it's written in the plural. Lo Sakifu Pas Roshchem. So the Gemara says, because it's written in the plural, so we darshan is a lav on the barber and there's a lav on the customer. They're both going to be over on aver. They're both over on a lav. But Lo Sashchis Pas Zikonecho is written in the singular. So since it's not written in the plural, it's only a lav, lav la mashchis, velo la nishchas. The one who allows his beard to be shaven would not be in violation of any avera. Only the one who cuts it, only the barber would be in violation. Unless akifa pas rosh chem pas rosh, if the barber shaves off my pays with a razor, the Rambam holds only with a razor. So then the Raivid says both the barber and the customer are over on the lav. But if the barber shaves off my beard, not the pas harosh, it shaves off the five mekamis and the pas hazokan with a razor, so then the rabbi holds that only the barber is in violation. Lav la mashchis, v'lo la nishchas. And the customer who sits there and allows his beard to be shaved off is not in violation because it's not written in the plural. So that's how the old girsa read. So the Achronim says it's against the Tosefta. There's an explicit Tosefta in Makis that says that just like Vidarshan, the plural of Lo Sakifu, Lav La Makif, Lav La Nika, both the barber and the customer are in violation of the Lav, even though Lo Sashchis is written in the singular and there's no Mokker, but since they're written one next to the other, so it's a Hekish, so just like there's a double Iser in a Hakofe, and cutting off the Payas, so too there's a double Iser in the Hashchasos Pasazok. So how can the Raivid disagree with the Tosefta? The Raivid always quotes Tosefta. It's not that he didn't have access to Tosefta. He's always shaken out to Yerushalmis and Toseftas. So it wasn't by us, it would be Chiddush. You say, a rabbi today didn't know Tosefta, there's no Chiddush. But the rabbi always quotes Tosefta. So how can it be that he's writing against the Tosefta? So they think that there's a misprint in the rabbi, and by us it's already written correctly. The rabbi should read the way it says in our editions, Lav la makif, lav la nikaf, lav la mashchis, v'lav la nishchas. It's two lavim. He's masik on the Rambam. According to the first reading, and according to the old reading, that's probably a misprint in the Raivid. So what does he want from the Rambam? He's writing a shtikl Torah, he's writing a chiddush, and what does it have to do with the Sefer HaMitzvahs? Write it on the Mishnah Torah. It has nothing to do with the Mishnah Torah either. He's just writing an original chiddush, the way the old reading, the way the old Girsta reads, that the plural lo sakif of pasaroshim is what teaches me lav la makif, lav la nikaf. That's only by akof as pasarosh, and there is no plural by ashchos as pasazokin. Says lo sashchis, so there's no double is, so there's only an issa on the mashchis, on the bar, but not on the nishchis, not on the custom. So what has it got to do with the Rambam? They write a sefer on makis, and they write a sefer on yeredei. What has it got to do over here? So the way the new editions have it, the Ravid is masik on the sefer on mitzvahs. That's why he wrote it here. He's tining. Why did the Rambam only count it as one lav? One lav mem gimel and one lav mem dalet. There should be two lavim on the payas and two lavim on the bid. A lav la mashchis and another lav on the nishchas and a separate lav on the makif and a separate lav on the nikaf. That's the hasogas of Ravid. The Ravid holds that two lav. So Rav Elbel of Soloveitchik commented that this, and the Rambam holds no, the Rambam holds that only counts as one lav. So Rav Elbel commented that this machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, in the minyan amitzus, loises and mem gimel, is l'shitasam, what we just read in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Aleph. That the Kesem Mishnah was right, that the Kesem Mishnah understood the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that the customer is not in violation of any aver if he's not Misayeya. The Ravid writes, if you're not Misayeya, you're over Allah, but it's Allah Shema Maisa, you're not like it. And if you are Misayeya, you change it into Allah Shema Maisa. And the Kesem Mishnah understood, the Rambam does not agree with the Ravid, it's a machlokes here. And the Rambam holds, you're not in violation of any aver. What's the issue? So Rav Elbel explained, this is the issue. The Ravid is of the opinion that Mamish two lavim. There's a lav on the mashchis, there's a lav on the nishcha, so the customer who sits there, who allows the barber to shave off his beard, he allows the barber to shave off his payas, the customer is over an independent lav. There's one lav on the barber who does the cutting, there's one lav on the customer who allows his payas and his beard to be cut off. But that lav is usually a lav shame or maises. In order to get malchus, you have to lean over to make it into a lav shame or maises. That's the Ravid l'shitosa. And the Rambam is also the Shitosa. The Rambam holds there are not two lavim. Basically, there's only a lav on the makif. There's no lav on the nikah. But if he's misayeya, then he converts into the makif. The nikah becomes the makif. It turns out by his leaning over, the pu'ula of the barber relates to him because he helped out the barber. But if he's not misayeya, then he's only a nikah. So there never was a lav on the nikah. There's no iser on the nikah. This, the Rambam holds there's only an Issa on the Makif. That's why the Rambam only counted it once. In the Sefer HaMitzvah, the Lav on the Makif. There is no Lav on the Nikif. The Ravid was Masig, he should have counted two independent Lav. One Lav on the Makif, one Lav on the Nikif, one Lav on the Mashchis, one Lav on the Nishchis. And the Rambam holds no, the only Lav is only on the Mashchis. And the Nishchis, it depends. The Nikif depends. If he's Misayeya, so it comes that we say Misayeya Yeshba Mamish because it's Begufi. I'm Misayeya, and the aver is being done on my body, so the Rambam holds like the Taz. The Ravid holds like the Shach, that the Shach quoted the Ravid. The whole Shach was based on the Ravid. But the way the Kesed Mishnah learned the Rambam, and the way Rav Elbel agrees with the Kesed Mishnah, comes out the Rambam holds like that corny Taz, like that funny Taz. That you don't apply Misayeya, funny Taz. You don't apply Misayeya, ain't bo mamish, huh?
According to the Taz, why is it Mutar Shayim Shehos?
Shnaim Shasuhu, where in?
By cutting the nails. You don't know. And we have a raya, not like the Miri, that in the Gemara and Chayrus, that even by a guy you say Shnaim Shasuhu. Otherwise, you have this for a Chayrus and it's not quite.
The whole thing is a Pella. The whole Taz is a Pella. The whole thing from the beginning to the end. I don't know. But that's what Rav Elbel says. He says the Rambam seems to hold like the Taz. The Ravid is Beferish holds like the Shach. Shach based everything on the Ravid. But the Kesem Mishnah took it that the Rambam doesn't agree with the Ravid, and the Rav Elbel thought the Kesem Mishnah was right, and it's the Rambam and the Ravid. The Shitasim and the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So Mele says comes out that the Taz is Svarah says in the Rambam that Misayei Ein Bo Mamish, if it's Zayachl, it's any Yachl, only applies if the Pu'ula, the Aver is done on a different body. But if the aver is done on my body, I'm a goofy, you're going to say Misayim HaMamish, how can you say that? Nunu. So funny. Okay. So those were the two opinions again in Tosfos. Why do you say Hachai Nosei Satzma? So the more popular opinion is because you're learning everything out from the Mishkan. Malach Shabbos learned out from the Mishkan. The Mishkan, they didn't carry any people. didn't carry behemoth either. So that's a machleg zam nasan nachachamim. How far do you learn after the mishnah? And the rejected pshat that Taisus alluded to was that I should consider it shnaim shasu. Achayna says atzma, if it's a person, is potter because it's called shnaim shasu. Okay, Nachama. So the Mishnah says if you carry a sachai b'mita, not only are you not chayv on the chai, l'chol adeis, bein l'ramnos, bein l'rabbonin, you're not even chayv on the mita because shamita tzvelo lo. The same as in the beginning of the Mishnah. They have hamotzi yachlam pachas mikishir. Hakli tzvelo lo. So here amita tzvelo lo. Amita tzvelo lo. What if you carry a dead body out? So that's for sure. A dead body, you can't say achayna says atzman. Dead is dead. So everyone should agree that there's no chayness esatzman should be an isur of haitzor. But all of a sudden comes Rav Shimon Poiter. Rav Shimon says, no, it's a malacha she'ein tzricha legufo. And this is the mocker for the whole mesichta. The whole mesichta always refers to Rav Shimon who says, malacha she'ein tzricha legufo. Is that an isur deraisa? And Rav Yudah disagrees. This is the mocker. This is Rav Yudah Rav Shimon. How do you know the Tanakhama is Rav Yudah? Maybe it's somebody else. So that's what the Tosis writes. On Tzadik Dalla Naman Aleph, the little Tosis, Es Hamez Mamita Chayiv, we know from the previous Mishnah Reb Yudah is mentioned. So since the previous Mishnah mentions Reb Yudah Shita, so the Tanakhama here is also Reb Yudah. So this is how we know in Gan Shas, this is how we know throughout the Omesichta that there is a Machleg Reb Yudah Reb Shimon regarding Malacha Shein Tzvicha Legufa. This is the original source for the Machleg Satanah. What exactly does it mean, Malacha Shein Tzvicha Legufa? So there's some kind of a major machlokes here between Rashi and Tosfos. The Tosfos is so big, and Tzadik Dalet and Aleph, Tosfos writes with such a harchava, like they demolished Rashi. They snowed under Rashi. They Rashi is dead and buried. Rashi. Rashi's still alive. Rashi's chayvikayim. The Rambam holds like Rashi, and the Trumas Hadeshin, and the Ramban, and the Rashbo. A lot of Rishonim, everybody holds like Rashi. The Tosfos has their shita and Rashi has their shita, but the Tosfos is so big, okay, so we'll do Tosfos first. The Tosfos says, every malacha is learned out, all the lamentas malachas are based on the Mishkan. Whatever was in the Mishkan, that's the Gemara, the first daf in Bava Kama. How do you know what's an av and what's a tolda? Ach davi mishkan chashivi korele, av hach davi mishkan chashivi korele tolda. So whatever was in the Mishkan is an av malach. Fine. And the toldas are those things that are similar to what was done in the Mishkan. So the Tosfos says, that's the opinion of Reb Shimon, that since all the malachas are derived from the Mishkan, so it has to be done for the same tachlis that they did all the malachas in the Mishkan. If you'll do a malacha and you're not going to do it for the same purpose as in the Mishkan, let's say in the Mishkan they would harvest things, they would do kotzer, because they were going to use the fruits of the vegetables that they detached from the ground. They're going to use it to get the coloring out or some nourishment or something. They're going to eat it. But if you're going to just, I want to destroy the other guy's crop, so I destroy everything. I chop down all the trees and I destroy everything. So Tyson said, that's not done for the same purpose that Kotze was done in the Mishkan. I'm going to kill animals. Why did they kill animals in the days in the Mishkan? They kill the animals because they need Oris Eilim Yodomim, Oris Tachoshim, or they wanted meat. So they're going to use the meat, they're going to use the horns, they're going to use the hide, they're going to use something from the animal. But I'm just going to shoot your animals. I want to be mafsid you, so I shoot all of your animals dead. So that's a malacha, shein tzvicha legufa. I'm not doing it for the same purpose it was done in the Mishkan. So Taisa says that's by definition, that's not called a malacha according to Rav Shimon. Rav Yudah says no. Whatever that pula was, whatever that activity was, doesn't matter what you have in mind, what tachlis you have in mind. As long as it's not mekalkel. If it's mekalkel, so Rav Yudah is moida that mekalkel and call him mekalkel and store. They're talking in case that it's not mekalkel. So Rav Shimon says, since everything is learned out from the Mishkan, not only the Tzura Sapu'ula has to be based on what was in the Mishkan, the Tachlis which the Pula is done has to be something along the lines of what was done in the Mishkan, and Reb Yudah disagrees. That's how Tosfos says. According to Tosfos, this Machleg Zab Yudah Reb Shimon has absolutely nothing to do with Mekalkel. The Gemara says, Moide Reb Yudah ben Mekalkel. We had an Ein Gimelon base. Even though Reb Yudah holds Ein Tzvicha Legufa is going to be Deraisa, but if he does an Ein Tzvicha Legufa in a fashion that is mekalkel, even Rabbi Yudah will agree that it's part. Why? Mekalkel is mekalkel. That's a lack of melech smasher. Mekalkel is a ptur that they all agree to. And Ein Tzvicha Legufa is unrelated to mesakin and mekalkel. Ein Tzvicha Legufa because you learn that from the Mishnah. Sure. There is a Gemara later where the Gemara seems to draw a connection between mekalkel and Ein Tzvicha Legufa. That's how Rashi in the Balamor writes on Kuvavim and Aleph. So Taisa says, absolutely not correct. Taisa says, the Gemara doesn't exist. That's not pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara said, though, there's a machlekes abyud Reb Shimon regarding something about Mekalkel. So where'd they get it from? Where'd they get this machlekes? So Rashi in the Balamor said, it's connected with the Ein Tzricha Legufa topic. Mekalkel ha Mesak and Mekalkel ha Sam to Ein Tzricha Legufa. So Taisa says, has nothing to do with each other, Kerachot Mizrach Limayrev. And Taisa writes, Kabbalah Haisabiyadim, the last line on Kuvavim and Aleph, they had an oral tradition that there was an independent machlekes. The machlekes of Yudah Reb Shimon regarding Ein Tzricha Legufa, that's our Mishnah. They didn't need a Kabbalah on that. They didn't need a tradition. That's recorded in the Mishnah. But the machlekes regarding over there, the detail of Mekalkel, Vechav, Lamaver, that a tradition of such a machlekes. We don't have any Mishnah or any Braisa, and it's unrelated to anything else that Rabbi Yudah Reb Shimon says. It has nothing to do. But Rashi and the Balamor hold not so. It has up to something to do with their machlekes. The Gemara figured out, the Gemara derived that there is a machlekes of Yudah Reb Shimon regarding Mekalkel, Lechav, Lamaver, based on their opinions regarding Ein Tzricha Legufa. So what is the connection? So one possible pshat is as follows. The Rashi clearly is giving a different definition of Ein Tzricha Legufa, not what Taisa says. He's learning out from the Mishkan, so not only the Tzuras HaMalacha, but even the Tachlis for which the Malacha was done. Rashi writes something else. Rashi on the Mishnah on Tzadik Gimel and Beis writes, if a person is stuck in a situation, and he really would have preferred not to be stuck in this, he would have preferred not to be in this bad situation. And the only way to krich out of the mess, he's in a mess. The only way, and things are bad and they're getting worse, and the way to prevent things from getting worse, or by doing a malacha. But he's not getting any positive results out of the malacha. The malacha is just in order to leave, to get out of the mess that he's in. Not that this is the root that he wants. He wants to plant in order that things should grow. He's planting in order to hide something or something. I don't know. If they find him with the seeds, they're going to arrest him and put him in jail. So he plants it in the ground in order to hide it. But he's not really interested in that. So since he's stuck with the seeds in his pocket, they're going to put him in jail if they find him with seeds, whatever. So he plants in order to hide it. So that's, he's not really interested in that. So it's in order to get himself out of a bad predicament. So that's the machlokes hatanaim. So Rashi doesn't seem to learn like Tosis. It's because you're learning out from the Mishkan, and just like the Tzuras HaMalacha is learned from the Mishkan, so the Tachlis of the Malacha. Rashi sounds a little bit that he's driving at a different point. That every Malacha has to be Mistaken, it shouldn't be Mekalkel. So this is the machlokes of Yudah Reb Shimon. What do you mean by Mistaken? So he did a Malacha. Let's say the house is burning down and he extinguishes the flame. So now he has his house. If the house would burn down, he would lose $500,000. The house is worth $500,000. So he extinguished the flame, he still has his house that's worth $500,000. So that's the machlekes of Shimon Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, that's misakein, gevaldik. He prevented his house from burning down. And Rabbi Shimon says, it's not mekalkel, but it's not misakein either. Misakein means that you improved the situation, you made it better than it was before. Didn't make it better than it was before. You were in a bad situation, the house is burning down, and you prevented the house from burning down by doing a malacha, but nothing positive came out. It's a negative tikkun. The situation was so bad and it's going to get worse, so by doing a malacha you prevented it from getting worse. So that's the machlekes of Yudah Reb Shimon. Is that enough to be called mesakein? But he's saying, no, a negative tikkun is not a tikkun. You have to have a positive tikkun. It has to be better, mikana labo. So according to the way Rashi seems to learn, that's the shaila of Ein Tzricha Legufa. So then we can understand a little better the Gemara in Kuvav and Manal, the way Rashi and the Balamor learn, that these two machlokes and Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon are interconnected. If you hold that Ein Tzricha Legufa, according to Reb Shimon, is never called mesakein, and nonetheless, Chayv al-Mavr is always Chayv, even though it's always Ein Tzricha Legufa. So what you're saying, in effect, is the Mekalkel, the Chayv al-Mavr is Chayv. You don't need Mesakin. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you do need Mesakin. The fact that you did an Ein Tzricha Legufa, that's no reason to say that that's a lack of Mesakin. The fact that you prevented it from deteriorating, that's also a tikkun. Doesn't have to be a positive tikkun, the kumbi, I say, that you made the situation better than it was before. when the Rebbeinu Shalom created the world, he did a positive tikkun. He made something mamish, mikana labo, something is much better. But the prohibition that he gave us, we're not allowed to do a malacha, zechel, abriya, sa'ilam, doesn't have to be a positive tikkun. The Rebbeinu Shalom does positive tikkun. As long as if you do a negative tikkun, it's also good. You prevented the situation from deteriorating, is also called the masaka. So this seems to be a fundamental machlokes between Rashi and the whole group of Rishonim, as opposed to Tosfos, the way they understand. And Tosfos runs through all the Gemaras with their understanding. They keep on insisting that Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa is based on the Mishkan. For what purpose did they do all of these malachas in the Mishkan? Yeah, then there was an important machlekes Reish Shlokish and Rabbi Yechanan. No dolo v'chazav and no dolo. What does it mean? Let's say a person went to a restaurant, a kosher restaurant, to eat a meal, a fleishig meal. And after he finishes eating the meal, he thought that everything was kosher. Then the waiter tells him, I'm sorry to tell you that we served yechelev. The flesh was not, we never did the nikar on the flesh. And you ate chelev deraisa and you chayv katas. And the beverages that you drank were dam. So you chayv. So he's chayv one chatas for the chelev, one chayv for the dam. One chatas for the dam. They're two different averes. Shemus machlokim. A separate law for chelev and a separate law for dam. I but mamish, he didn't know bichlal. He didn't have the foggiest notion. B'shoigeg, you chayv chatas if he did an aver. B'shoigeg means, I know it's chelev, but I didn't know that it was forbidden. But if I didn't even realize that I'm eating chelev, I thought everything was under hashgacha. Why not consider that misasik? So the answer is, you're right, it is misasik. But misasik b'chalav ma'arayis chayev shekei nehena. That's what Shmuel says increases on Daf Chof. Misasik b'shabis potter malechus machshavis asvetoira. Misasik b'chalav ma'arayis chayev shekei nehena. Even though it's misasik, it's going to be chayev. So let's say this guy, he ate a whole meal. And he ate a lot of chelev. He ate a few kezeis of chelev. And he drank a few kezeisim of dam. So does he only bring one chatas for all of the chelev, one chatas for all of dam? So the Mishnah says, yeah, if it's all behelem echad, it was all in one session. If he ate in one restaurant, and after all the restaurants are kosher on the hashgacha, and after he finishes eating, the waiter tells him, we made a mistake, we gave you chelev, we gave you dam. So it's chayev, one chatas for the chelev, one chatas for the dam. And he didn't bring, they didn't build the Beis HaMikdash yet, so he didn't bring any of the karbonis yet. Then he goes, that's it. He's not going to eat in this restaurant anymore. How can he trust the hashgacha? After he finishes eating, then the waiter comes and he tells me, he gave you chelda. Goes to another restaurant on the hashgacha. He eats. After he finishes, the waiter in that restaurant tells him, we're sorry to tell you the bad news. We just realized we gave you chelda, we gave you dam. So he has to bring another chatas for the chelda, another chatas for the dam. When they build the Beis HaMikdash, you can't get away with one chatas for the both chalav and one chatas for the both dam. This is b'shnei halamas. If it would have been behelam echad, many kizaisim of chelev behelam echad, you can be miskapit with one chatas. And he drank a lot of that beverage. It had a new flavor. He never drank dam before in his life. It had a very tasty flavor. And drank all the dam. So even though there were many kizaisim of dam, he only has to bring one chatas for the kizaisim. But if he had on one restaurant and another restaurant, and in between he was aware that waiter told him after the first restaurant that we gave you chelev a dam. So that's shtei halamas. So shtei halamas yichayv tu chatas. What if it would all be behelam echad? He's been eating for years in this restaurant. Always eats in this restaurant. And now we find out the waiter tells him that yesterday we gave you chelev adam. And then, so he writes down in his notebook, the Gemara says in the first paragraph, you have to write, you have to be kosev al pinchasa. Even bizman hazeh shein beis hamikdash kam, he's supposed to keep a record. So meheri banan beis hamikdash, you know how many chatos you have to bring to the beis hamikdash. You can't just bring 100 chatos and assume that everything will be forgiven. You have to know exactly what averis you did and how many chatos you have to bring. It's not chatos, not bo ben edu and adov. If you're not mukhayif to bring the chatos, you can't bring it. It'll be an issa. It'll be an issa to bring it if you're not mukhayif. So let's say the fellow always ate in this restaurant for years. And now, today, they tell him that yesterday we realized we made a mistake, he ate chelev adam. So he writes down in his notebook, he has to bring a chatos chelev and a chatos dam. And then a week goes by, still didn't build the Beis HaMikdash, and the waiter tells him, and we just ascertained, a week later they tell him, we just ascertained that last year, when you ate in the restaurant, we also made a mistake, we gave you chelev adam. So, can it be miskapeh with one chatas for all the chelev, one chatas for all the dam? Bishas Aveira, everything was Behelem Echod. At the time that it was even the Chelev and Adam, he wasn't aware. There was no Yediya Bintayim. In between the first Chelev that he ate last year and the second Chelev that he ate yesterday, there was no Yediya. But it's no Dolo V'chazav and no Dolo. He first found out about one incident that he ate Chelev B'Shogeg. Then he later found out about a different incident, either earlier or later, doesn't make a difference. He found out about the other incident at which time he ate Chelev. So that's a Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. That's what the Gemara quotes on the top of Tzarik Dal and Nof. What's the Machlokes? They argue what's the nature of the din that if you eat Shnei Zeisi Chelev B'Shtei Halomes Yed Yechayv Tu Chatos. Why is that? So Reish Lakish is of the opinion if it's B'Shtei Halomes, if it's he did an Aver, then no Dalo, then he did an Aver, then no Dalo. So if there was Yedi in between, that's Mapsik, the two Averis. If there were no Yedi in between, so the eating a Chelev that he did last year and the eating a Chelev that he did yesterday is all considered one long Hemshech, even though it's not Turkey de Achilas Pras. A whole year was Mapsik in between last year and yesterday's Achilah. But since everything was Behelem Echad and it's all the same Aver, it's all a repeat of the Chelev, and it's the same restaurant, everything is the same. So we label the whole thing as one long aver. If he does an aver of inodalo, and he does the aver of inodalo, so there is a yediyah bentayim. The yediyah bentayim is mafsik the tziruf, and then it's considered two averes. And if it's all behelam echad, then it's considered one aver. And Rabbi Yechanan says that's true. What you said, if you have a yediyah in between, it's mechalakit to two averes. But there's another aloch, even though there was the yediyah bentayim, if it's after doing the second avera. After eating in the same restaurant the second time, b'shoigeg in the yekhelodam, and it's no dalo because of an odalo, he becomes aware of one instance, either the first or the second time that he ate chelodam, and then because of an odalo gets another separate yediya. So since the halacha says ahodalav chatas hashechato aleha, that the chiv to bring a chatas only sets in, only begins when there's yediya sachet. Before yediya sachet, there is no chiv to bring a korban chatas. Rabbi Chanan Asman quotes that Taisus and Shvu is Abdalid to emphasize this point. Taisus says that a chatas is not bob and edim and adoba. So let's say a person ate chela b'shegig, but he's not aware of it. He didn't know about it yet, and he designates an animal. He says, in the event that I did a chil Shabbos, if it turns out that I ate chela b'shegig, I want this to be a chatas for the chil Shabbos, or I want this to be the chatas for the chelov, or this one to be the chatas for the dam. But at the time that he is Magdish the Bema, he's not aware of any instance at which he violated any other. He says, in case I did an aver, I want this to be the chatas. So Taisus says, even if later on he finds out that he actually was Mechal Shabbos once, or that he did eat chelev, or that he did eat dam, and he's going to bring that Bema to the Beis HaMikdash later, it'll be chulim v'azora. Why? Because at the time that he was Magdish, he didn't yet have the idea. And the pasuk says in Vayikra, Ahodalav chatosa. Ahoda means likeshe yivada. Im nodala. When you have yidiyah sachet, then you become uchiyev to bring the chatos. Before yidiyah sachet, there's no chiyev to bring a chatos. So if you're mafrish a chatos before yidiyah sachet, ala tanai. In case I have a hunch that maybe I did an avera in my lifetime, how can it be that I'm such a tzaddik? It's hard to believe. I must have done some avera b'shogeg at some time or another. I raise the chatos for whatever avera I may have done that I'll find out about later. Then later on he finds out Taki did some major avera. She esh b'koriz b'shogeg. So Taisa says the hakdosha wasn't chal b'shas maisa. He has to be magdish the behemah again after he gets the yediyah, because the yediyah sached is what's mechayv and achatos. So that's what we pass from like Rabbi Yechanan here. If he ate two kizei say chelev on two different occasions, the no dalo because of an odalo, there was no yediyah ben time in between the first chet and the second chet. The yediyah, both yediyahs were at the end. So Reish Lakish says, if there's no yediyah ben time to be in mechalakit, so the both averas blend in to be considered one avera, and you only have one chatas. And we don't pass them like Reish Lakish. We pass them like Rabbi Yechanan. The no dalo because of an odalo, the yediyah sachet is what's mechay ben achatos. So if he had one yediyah first, then he has a second yediyah on the other occasion, then the din would be that it's chayv two chatos, and he's not miskapa with one. He has to dafke bring two. But the other din is also true. The other din, what Reish Lakish says, that the yediyah is a mechalek, Rabbi Yechanan says yediyah is mechayvah, the yediyah is mechayev. So not the law of chazim and not the law, so there are two mechayvim, so he has to bring two chatos. But Reish Lakish said, Rabbi Yechon is also asking, if there would have been a Yediyah Bentayim, in between the first Maisa and the second Maisa, Yediyah is Machalka, so Yediyah is Machalik, the two Maisim apart. What is the relevance? If Rabbi Yechon has even know the love of Chazim and know the law, then there's going to be Chayv Tu Chatois. So Kal V'Chaymer, if Chota V'Nod the law, V'Chota V'Nod the law, it's the same as Chota V'Chota V'Nod the law, V'Nod the law, it's Chayv Tu. No, the Afkamin is going to be, what if he did a malacha to the extent of a chatzis shir? That's the machloikas satanoim, the last mishnah in the Perek Oreg, and Kufei Omed Aleph, the last mishnah. He writes shtei oisias b'shtei halomas. He wrote osachas is a chatzis shir. Vinodalo. Then he chapsach. What did I do? He's not allowed to write on Shabbos. Then he forgets again, or he didn't know that it was Shabbos. His watch was wrong, and he wrote another letter. And then they tell him, no, it's still Shabbos. You violated the ksiva of a chatzis shir. So that's a machloikas satanoim. Rabbi Gamliel Mechayev Achachamim Pachim. The Maikom if Ligi, the Gemara says, in the last two lines, in the Perik Ha'orig, on Perik Abone, the last two lines in Perik Abone, on Daf Kufei, in the middle of Amad Aleph, the Gemara says, the Maikom if Ligi, Rabbi Gamliel Sava, Ein Yediyah Lechatzishir. Rabbi Gamliel holds, Yediyah, the Aloch, if there's Yediyah, then time it's Mechalik, Echayv Tuchatos, because Yediyah is Mechayv and Achatos. Yediyah is Mechayv, so Yediyah is not Mechayv and Achatzishir. The Yediya Saber is not Mechayv and Achatzishir. So the Yediya Bentayim is irrelevant. After he'll do the second, after he'll write the second Ois, Bishgogo. And now we'll have a Yediya. You put together the first Yediya with the second Yediya. So now he has a Yediya that he did an Avera of Koisim Shtei Oisias, and it'll be Chayav Achatas. And we pass him like the Chachomim that Yesh Yediya Lachatzishir. Even if Yediya was in between the Chatzishir, the first and the second Chatzishir, even though such a Yediyah is not a Mechayev, but there's another din that Yediyah is Mechalkas, that both dinim are correct. Yediyah is Mechayvah and Yediyah is Mechalkas. Yediyah is Mechayvah says Rabbi Yechon is din. No dolo v'chazav and no dolo v'mardav. That's on the top of Tzadik Dal and Amin Aleph. The Gemara quoted from Dafayin Aleph. No dolo v'chazav and no dolo. The halach is like Rabbi Yechon, that Yediyah is Mechayvah. And then if there's a Yediyah ben Tayim, so even Yesh Yediyah Lechatzishir, even if it's Lechatzishir, Yediyah Bentayim is Mechalek, it's Mafrid. It's considered two different pulas not to be Mitzarf together. It's not Mitzarf if it's a Chatzishir with a Chatzishir, and it's not Mitzarf if it's a Kashir with a Kashir. It's not Mitzarf to the two Aver. And by the Chatzishir, the Chatzishir Baita, the two Chatzishirs, it's not Mitzarf. So we pass them, they're both correct. We pass like Rabbi Yechonin that Yediyah is Mechaybais, and we pass them like the Chachamim, the Rabbi Gamliel, that Yediyah is Mechalkos. They're both correct. The Gemara has on the last line on Tzadik Dalad and Aleph. Omer Reish Lakish, Poita Hoya Reb Shimon, Afbe Moitias Hameis, Lekovroi. Not only does Reb Shimon say, the guy wants to get the mace out of the house. So not only Amotias HaMeis Men Abayis, he throws the mace into the Rishus HaRabim, that's a Malach HaShem Tzvicha L'Gufo, but even if it's Motia HaMeis L'Kovra, he wants to bury the mace, that's also called a Malach HaShem Tzvicha L'Gufo. Ay, but Furas HaMeis is a mitzvah, and Tosis claims that they prove from the Gemara later, Rashi doesn't agree with it at all, with the way Tosis read the Gemara, but Tosis on Kufei HaMeis writes, the lekamon mashma that the tzarich mitzvah is considered a tzricha legufo. This is all that the tzarich mitzvah is called tzricha legufo. So how come over here? How come over here it says it's motzis hameis lekovroi? And it's still a malach hashem tzvicha l'gufa, but kfuras hameis is a mitzvah. So we suggested it depends what the nature of the mitzvah is. A guy's going to carry a lulav in order to shake the lulav in shul, in the middle of halal. So that's called a malach tzvicha l'gufa. He's going to use the lulav for some purpose in the shul. The use doesn't have to be a secular use. If it's a religious use, it's also a malach tzvicha l'gufa. The tzarich mitzvah is also called a malach tzvicha l'gufa. That's because he's going to use the lulav. The nature of the mitzvah is to use the lulav, shake a lulav. So the shaking of the lulav, that's called a tzorech. But over here, what is the mitzvah of bearing a mace? To dispose of the mace. or let's say to administer Mises Bezin, to kill someone, to get rid of the guy. So if the whole mitzvah is to get rid of someone, then Rashi, then the Gemara holds that that's called the Melacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa. Like over here, the whole mitzvah of the mace is to dispose of the mace in a Bekavadika fashion. But to dispose of the mace, that's not called the Tzvicha L'Gufa. That's called the Melacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa. So the Gemara says, Moide Reb Shimon, it's still called Melacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa, even if he's carrying the mace out in order to cover it. But the Gemara says, the next line, Amarav, Moide Reb Shimon, Bemar, Lachbabo. What if he carries a shovel in order to use it, in order to dig somewhere? That's called the Melacha Tzvicha L'Gufa. Gemara says, Pshita. What then? Of course it's Tzvicha L'Gufa. The Gemara says, no. Mao determined, one might have thought mistakenly, Adika L'Gufoi U L'Gufo. Kigon, Mar Lassus L'Tas V'Lachbabo. Maybe the only time it's called Melacha Tzvicha L'Gufa is if he's carrying the shovel to a new location, that they should improve the shovel. They're going to make a design, they're going to put a label on it or something, and he's going to use the shovel. So maybe it's only Tzvicha L'Gufo, Melacha Tzvicha L'Gufo, if it's both L'Gufo Shel Hatas. He's going to improve the mar, he's going to improve the shovel, and the Melacha Tzvicha L'Gufo is going to use it for some Mishtamshes. So Kamash Malan, that you don't need L'Gufo L'Gufo, as long as they're going to use it. So Taisus later has a fantastic Kiddush on this Gemara. You could have read not like Taisus, that if a fellow carries a shovel in order to dig a grave, in order to bury someone in it, so the carrying of the mace ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa, but the carrying of the shovel is Tzvicha L'Gufa, because he's going to use the shovel to dig a hole in order to use the hole. It's not an act of futility. He needs the hole for a purpose. So Taisus says later that it's wrong. When Rava says, Moide Rava b'motias hamar, lach baboy, if the fellow is going to carry, Moide Rav Shimon b'mar lach baboy, the chayiv, the Taisus says, only if he's going to build a house or something, or he's going to use the shovel to dig and he's going to plant over there, but he's going to dig a grave and he's going to bury the mace in it. So Tais says no, then even the carrying of the shovel is ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa, because since the end result, the whole tachlis of digging the grave, carrying the shovel is in order to dig the grave and in order that they should bury a mace in the grave, and the act of getting disposing of the mace is an ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa, so everything that leads up to it is also called an ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa. That's the Chiddush that Tais has understood in this Gemara. That was the big Taisus on the bottom of Kuvav and Aleph, that they understood Moide Reb Shimon b'mar lach baboy, no, not to dig a grave and to bury a mace, no, to carry a shovel to dig grave, bury mace, it still ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa. Over here it means he's going to dig a ditch in order to build, in order to put some foundation there, or he's going to dig a hole in the ground in order to plant there. So it's either no choresh or it's a bonnet, one or the other. But if he's digging a ditch in order to bury a mace, Taisus claims that just like the burying in a mace, the carrying the mace ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa, it's a way of disposing of a dead body. So even the digging which is leading up to the burying is also labeled as an ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa. That mem is a big Kiddush, the way Taisus read the Gemara. Then the Gemara ends off over here. There was one occasion that there was a mace and it was someone's home and it was very annoying. So Mishum Kavod Abiyus, they allowed them to violate an Issa D'Rabbanan. What was the Issa D'Rabbanan? First, the Gemara thought they carried in the Carmelist. Then the Gemara said, could even be that you're not carrying Carmel. Could be that Melacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa. If you all like Rav Shimon, Melacha Machlekes, the Rambam and the Balamor, the two Rishonim of Paskin, like Rav Yudah, Melacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa is an Issa D'Raisa. And it's usually the accepted opinion is not like the Rambam and the Balamor. We accept La Halacha that ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa is only the Rabbonim. So the Gemara says over here, someone died in the apartment and was very uncomfortable, and there was an issue of Kavod Abriyus there. So Mishum Kavod Abriyus, we allowed them to violate the Issa D'Rabbanan of carrying the mace. Why is it an Issa D'Rabbanan? The Gemara says, if you're prepared to pass on like Rav Shimon, that ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa, is only D'Rabbanan. So it's Amotias HaMeis, it ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa, so it's only D'Rabbanan. So Mishum Kavod Abriyus, it can be Mate. But even the Gemara said, even if you hold the halacha is like Reb Yudah, the Rambam and the Balamor Paskal, the halacha is like Reb Yudah, it would still be Mutahir because they didn't carry in a real Rishus HaRabim D'Araisa. Bidrukra, so they carried in a Carmelis. A Carmelis is only an Issa Haitzom and the Rabbanon, so their Kavod Abriyus would be Mater and Issa the Rabbanon. There's a long Sugyan Brochus, it says, on Daf Yud Tes on the base. where the Gemara discusses this klal. Gober Abriyas is a significant consideration in figuring out kulas. If you're stuck in an emergency situation and there's an issue of Kavar Abriyas involved, so sometimes Kavar Abriyas is an overriding factor to be matter certain Isur. So one of the rules and regulations is that Kavar Abriyas can lift, you can be matter in Isur the Rabbanon. Goru Kavar Abriyas Shadecha Laisesu Shabbatur. Which Laisesu? The Gemara says Laisasur. Because all the din of the Rabbanon as Mechin Rabbanon are Laisasur. So that's in Brochus, Daf Yud Tesem and Beis. That's what the Gemara here is alluding to. The Kavar Abriyas is a consideration because of which he can be matter in Isur the Rabbanon. Okay, so what do we make up tomorrow instead of a 10:45? I'll give the shiur from 10:00 to 11:30, and we made up we're going to learn Chumash, maybe a few parshiyos. Okay, let's see.